Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 4, the book of Romans chapter 4. This morning, I'm going to attempt to finish up our series on trusting God, trusting in God's plan. Over the past several weeks, we've looked at several aspects of trusting God and trusting His plan, trusting His timing, trusting His provision, trusting Him for the results. And the dictionary defines trust as the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. And when it applies to trusting God, we have seen that trust involves believing in His word, believing in His wisdom, as opposed to believing in our wisdom and our understanding of the circumstances. Trust is based on knowing His character and trusting the fact that He does love us and believing that He has the ability and the resources to bring to pass what He has spoken to us through the Word and through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And one of the most important things we've seen is that it's a choice that we have to make daily. Just because you trusted God last week or you trusted Him yesterday doesn't mean you're not going to have to make a decision to trust Him today. So we have to make that decision. One of our key scriptures that we've looked at is found in Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version today. It says, "Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge Him, and He will direct and make straight and plain your paths." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, over the past few weeks, we've looked in detail at the account of the children of Israel when they were brought out of Egypt by a mighty hand of God. We've looked at the failure of 99.99% of those of that generation to keep trusting God. They had times when they trusted God, as we've seen from the Word, but they failed to continue to trust Him and His Word. As we looked at a couple weeks ago, they didn't understand His character at all in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And they certainly didn't grasp the love He had for them. And as a result, they all failed to enter the promised land and obtain the things that God had in store for them. As we read through the account of when the next generation did pass over and begin to take possession of the land promised to their fathers and to them, we've seen that things happened exactly as God told them they would. He went before them. He caused fear and dread among their adversaries. He gave them the victory just as He said He would. They possessed the land little by little just as He said they would. God was with them just as He said He would. It should be encouraging to us to see that what God had said to them, He was faithful and able to perform. It's a key component in our faith and our trust in God. It's the very thing that made Abraham stand out among other people. Hopefully you're there in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "In hope against hope, he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform." Hallelujah. You have to not only believe in God, but you have to believe in His Word, and you have to believe in His character. You have to believe that He's able to do the things that He promises in His Word that He said He would do. Right?
Amen?
Amen? Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We started looking at this a little bit last week. Acts chapter 1. We'll start reading in verse 4. Acts 1, 4. It says, "And gathering them together, He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for that which the Father had promised, which He said, 'You heard of Me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" Jesus had demonstrated and taught them the first part of the plan of God for their lives during His time on earth. He spent 40 days reinforcing to them what that was. It says that He spent 40 days speaking to them of things concerning the kingdom of God. The plan of God for their lives was they were to preach the gospel of the kingdom. They were to heal the sick. They were to cast out devils. That ministry was to start in Jerusalem, and then it was to expand to Judea and Samaria, and finally it was supposed to expand to the uttermost parts of the earth. He explained that part of the plan to them. They had experienced part of that plan when He had sent them out. He sent the 12 out, and then He sent the 70 out. They had done those things. But the next part of the plan was for them to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was it. He didn't give them any time constraints. He didn't tell them when it was going to happen. He just said to wait there. He said not many days hence, but He didn't give them any real timeline. The next part of the plan was to wait until that happened. Verse 6 here. He says, "So when they had come together, they were asking Him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time You are restoring the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth.'" As we see here, the disciples didn't yet completely understand the plan of God for their lives. They still thought Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. That establishing the earthly kingdom was the next step. They still didn't grasp what Jesus was saying to them. But He quickly, as you know it in the Word, He quickly refocuses them on the next step in God's plan for them. The next step in the plan was for them to receive power to be the witnesses they were called to be and enable them to do the ministering that they were called to do. The early church was able to do what they did on Pentecost and throughout the book of Acts because they trusted in the plan of God. They didn't understand it fully, but they trusted what Jesus said. Amen. Verse 9. "And after He said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was departing, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven.'" Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem. Initially, they just stood gazing up into the heavens. There's times like that in our lives where we're just looking off, daydreaming, whatever it might be, gazing off into space, dreaming about the future. They still had a lot of questions, I'm sure, that were rolling around in their mind. The angel said, "Why do you stand here gazing up into heaven?" basically, it's time for you guys to get with the next step of the plan. God's plan has to be put into action. We must get on with God's plan because there is no backup plan.
Amen.
Amen. We need to accept the wisdom of God's word and the wisdom of his messengers to stop clinging to whatever it is that's holding us back and realize that it often takes more emotional and physical energy to stay in the place we are than it does to move on. Will Rogers once said, even if you're on the right track, you'll get ran over if you just stand there. Amen. We've got, just because we're on the right track, we just can't be idle and do nothing. We've got to move forward with the plan of God in our life. Amen? We may not have all the answers. We're not going to have all the answers. Amen? I remember back when we were believing God for this building. You know, it sat empty for 2 years. We were believing God for the building, and people would see me down here, downtown, or wherever, and they'd say, well, what are you going to do if it doesn't work out? I was like, what do you mean if it doesn't work out? It's the plan of God. Amen? There is no backup plan. Amen? The Lord laid it on our heart to come here and to reopen this church and to reopen it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the plan of God. There is no backup plan. We have to get on with the things of God. In verse 12 it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, which is 2,000 cubits according to the Mosaic law, which is like 3/4 of a mile. Wasn't that far. When they had entered the city, they went up the upstairs room where they were staying. That is Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these were continually devoting themselves with one mind to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They were close. Amen? But they weren't close enough. Close enough isn't good enough. Amen? You know, one of the things that I don't like, or maybe it's my tooling background, my tool maker's background, but close enough isn't good enough. Amen? It's not good enough. Close enough isn't good enough for God. God has a plan. We've got to stick with the plan. The plan is, as we seen last week, that the kingdom of God is to be advancing. The kingdom of God that Jesus established will never have an end. It will not come to an end. It will last forever. The world will try to tell you, and we've seen it throughout history, where people have tried to, well, they're going to stamp out the church. They're going to stop the church. The church isn't going to be stopped until Jesus comes and calls us all home. And even then, people will be born again after the rapture, during the tribulation period. The kingdom of God is just going to keep advancing and advancing and advancing. Because it's the plan of God. When God said, let there be light, you know the universe is still expanding at the speed of light because God never told it to stop. Scientific fact. Still expanding. Amen? So it says they went back there. They followed the next step. There's four things we see there in these passages of Scripture. They went to Jerusalem. They were all of one mind. They were united. They prayed and they waited. When you think about their situation and the children of Israel, it's quite different. Amen? As we've seen a couple weeks ago, 23 days after they came out of Egypt, they were complaining. They were actually complaining before that. Complaining about didn't have
drink. They didn't have food. Why'd you bring us out here, God? We could have died in Egypt. All that stuff. Complaining. The plan of God. The disciples didn't do anything like that. Amen? The children of Israel, their faith was only as strong as their memory of their last experience with God. They failed to trust in God's word. Verse 15. And at that time, Peter stood up among the brothers and sisters, a group of about 120 people was there together, and said, "Brothers, and the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his intestines gushed out, and it became known to all the residents of Jerusalem. As a result, that field was called Hakidama in their own language, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his residence be made desolate, and may there be none living in it, and may another take his office.' Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become witness with us of his resurrection." So they put forward two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. While waiting, the Apostle Peter reminds everybody of the Word of God. That the Word says it was necessary for someone to take Judas's place as a witness of the resurrection. When we are in that waiting period, it's important to stay in the Word. When we're seeking direction from God, what's the next step, God? We got to stay in the Word, to read and meditate on the Word. Do what the Word says we are to do. Remind ourselves of the promises of God. The Word of God will always keep things in the proper focus. Even when we have questions and wonder what is happening, when we stay in the Word, it'll keep us on track. It'll be much harder for the enemy to get us off track and move us away from the plan of God if we're always in the Word. Hold your place there in Acts, but turn over to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." The same things that God told Joshua when he was getting ready to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He said to meditate on the word day and night. Let it not depart from your mouth. Amen? To be strong and to be courageous. The time we spend waiting upon the Lord is meant to be active times, not passive times. It's a time we work at what is at hand rather than idly dreaming of what is to come. Psalm 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Roll and repose each care of your load on Him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in Him, and He will bring it to pass." Hallelujah. The apostles not only spent time praying, they also spent those hours preparing themselves for the moment when God did move. Nothing happens by chance. We must believe that God has a plan that will work, and it is working. The plan of God is that the gospel of the kingdom and the signs that accompanied it was to be preached to the uttermost parts of the earth. The plan of God has not changed. The plan of God was that those who were to be his witnesses were to be endued with power from on high. The plan of God has never changed. The thing is, you can't believe in God's plan without trusting in his timing. The disciples wanted to know God's timing concerning the coming of the kingdom. Jesus basically just blew that question off and said, it's not for you to know that. You're to go back to Jerusalem and tarry until you be endued with power from on high. Amen. Hallelujah. So they went back. They went to Jerusalem. They went about doing what they could. What was about to happen had been planned in the mind of God before the creation of the world. They just had little glimpses of it. You ever had that happen? God just gives you a little glimpse of the plan. And you go through and you do those things, and then more of the plan of God opens up to you. And you get down to the end and you look back and you're like, wow, God did that to bring me here, and God did that to bring me here, and God did that to bring me here. It was all in the plan of God. Amen. Amen? Not that we're puppets and he's just moving us around. We have to make the choice whether we're going to follow the plan of God or not. Amen? We've got to follow the plan. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Verse 13. Or through 13. This is the New Living Translation. It says, God's purpose was to show his wisdom to all its rich variety to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. They will see this when Jews and Gentiles are joined together in his church. This was his plan from all eternity, and it has now been carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can come fearlessly into God's presence, assured of his glad welcome. Throughout the book of Acts, we see the disciples seeking to follow God's plan. They didn't have the full picture. They didn't know the eternal plan of God in all its detail, but they followed after the Holy Spirit, and they followed after what the Word of God said. Look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And this is Peter recounting to the apostles and the brethren in Jerusalem about what had happened in Caesarea when the Gentiles heard the good news. Acts 11:11. And behold, at that moment, three men appeared before the house in which we were staying, having been sent to me from Caesarea. The Spirit told me to go with them without misgivings. And these six brethren also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he reported to us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and have Simon, who is also called Peter, brought here. And he shall speak words to you by which you shall be saved, you and all your household. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they quieted down and glorified God, saying, "Well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life."
The plan of God was from eternity was that the Jews and the Gentiles were going to be gathered together into one church, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Amen. When the church first started, the apostles didn't know that. They were unaware of that. They thought it was just to the Jews. Amen. Everywhere that they went. But notice that Peter brought definition and purpose to what was happening by sharing the word of God. The same thing he did on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, when people were like, these guys are babblers, they're drunk on wine. And he says, no, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And he takes them back to the word and he reads and quotes the word of God to them. Amen. The word of God will bring definition. It'll bring purpose to what the Holy Spirit is doing. If you can't find it in the word, better check. It may not be the Holy Spirit. Amen. May not be. It's not the Holy Spirit. If you can't find definition and purpose and the plan of God in the word of God for what somebody says, well, the Holy Spirit told me this and the Holy Spirit told me that. Is it in the word? If it's not in the word, it's not from the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the wrong voice. Jews and Gentiles joined together in the church. It was a surprise. Right? To Peter and to everybody else, God said, surprise, you're not just you. This is for everybody. Amen. It's for everybody. Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. This is the Apostle Paul. Verse 44. In the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. Since you repudiated and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for thus the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you should bring salvation to the end of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. The Apostle Paul did the same thing. When people started contradicting what he was preaching, he brought definition and purpose and said, no, 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 this is what the Word of God says. He was quoting Isaiah chapter 42 and Isaiah chapter 49. We're going to bring salvation to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Got to follow after the plan of God. Amen. This was years. Years after Pentecost. 18 years or more. And the Gentiles hadn't even really been affected yet. The plan of God. You think it takes time for your life, for the plan of God to be revealed? It takes time. Amen. Preparation time. Look at Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts, as I said, is all about the apostles and the early church finding and following the plan of God. And the plan of God is revealed to them more and more. As they follow the plan,
do what they're called to do, more and more the plan of God's revealed to them. Seen that with Peter, we've seen it with Paul and Barnabas. Here in Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. And they passed through the Phrygian and the Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A certain man of Macedonia was standing, appealing to him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, and we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a certain woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Trust in the timing. Amen. The Apostle Paul, wanting to go down to the regions of Phrygia and Galatia, which today would be central and western Turkey, wanted to go there, but the Holy Spirit forbid him to speak the word of the Lord there. Then he said, "Well, I'm going to go to Bithynia, which is northern Turkey." And God says, "No, you're not going there either." So they decided to go to Troas, which happens to be on the Aegean Sea, or close to it. And he receives this vision to come over to Macedonia, which is in Europe. The first converts in Europe. It says the Lord opened her heart to respond. Now, if Paul would have been obstinate and would have, "Well, I'm going to go over here and preach anyway because that's what I'm supposed to do," he would have missed the timing. Amen? He wouldn't have been right there at a port city to get on a boat and go across the Aegean Sea to where God had called him to go if he'd have been over here saying, "Well, I'm doing what God's called me to do." He would have been in rebellion. He would have been doing exactly what God told him to do. But God said, "Listen, I don't want you to do that yet." Later on, he went back there and preached the word of God, but it wasn't the timing for him to go there. Amen? When he got to Philippi, people were there. Timing is everything. Amen? Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are times when you share the gospel with people, when their hearts are open to receive what you're sharing with them. There may be times when the Holy Spirit leads you to go somewhere. There may be times when the Holy Spirit tells you to keep your yapper shut. You ever been there? You start to say something, and it's like, "Nope, shut up. Don't say it." That brilliant thing that just popped into your mind that you were going to answer them, and the Holy Spirit's like, "Nope, the time's not right. They're not ready to receive." Amen? We always need to make sure that we're following the plan of God for our lives. Someone once said, "Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it is necessarily a God thing." The greatest goal of our lives should be to gain a knowledge of God's plan for our lives through the scriptures and then listening to the Holy Spirit. We got to trust God for the results. Surrender over to Him whatever it is that we are doing. Give it to God, trusting that God will take care of it and that He will take care of us. That it's okay to move forward. The Holy Spirit and trust in His Word enables us to move on knowing that God is with us. Because if you go on and read in Acts chapter 16, yeah, God led him there. And God opened the hearts of Lydia and those people to get saved. But things didn't turn out real well there for a little while, if you remember the story here. In Acts chapter 16, verse 16, "And it happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a certain slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed." He was grieved. Means to be worn out, the Strong's Concordance. Worn out, annoyed, exhausted, to be troubled, to be offended. "Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans.' And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks." Ooh, glory to God. Preached the word, people got saved, cast the devil out. Everything's going great. Tip people off. Cost them money. Amen? And you know, just because the Lord calls you to do something does not mean you're not going to face opposition. Doesn't mean you're going to not face persecution. You know, just me thinking about how I would react. There had to be times during that beating, during when they were thrown into the inner prison, their feet were fastened in stocks. There had to be times that Paul and Silas were like, "What is going on, God? Right? Where are you at? We did what you commanded us to do. We just came here. You wouldn't let us go there and preach. It probably would have turned out a whole lot better. You wouldn't let us go there to preach. You told us to come down here, and then this happens. What is going on?" You ever had that happen in your life? When God leads you to do something and you get in the midst of it and things aren't going real well and you're like, "What is going on, God?" But that's not what happened. Even in the midst of their pain and the darkness that surrounded them, they trusted God. They had to have faith that God had a plan. They had to have faith and trust in God. It says there in verse 25, "But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." Whew. Yeah. Probably been the last thing that I'd have been doing. Let's just be honest. Praising God, worshiping God, singing hymns. But Paul and Silas were doing that because they trusted in the plan of God. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had roused out of sleep and had been seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out. He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Hallelujah. Praise God. More people got saved as a result of what happened. Amen? And you know the end of the story, that they brought them before the leaders of the town and said, "You beat us, and we were Roman citizens." Freaked them out. They were in trouble. And they were like, "Hey, just go. Just please go. Don't report this, because we're going to get in big trouble for beating you." And Paul and Silas says they encouraged the brethren and they departed. Didn't hold any grudges. Didn't try to get even. Just said, "Well, the plan of God was us to come here. Now the plan of God is for us to go on." Look at Philippians chapter 3 and we'll close with this. We've got to get to the point in our lives where we trust God no matter what's going on in our life. It's not always going to be easy. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. The Phillips translation reads like this: "Yet, my brothers," this is Paul speaking, "I do not consider myself to have arrived spiritually, nor do I consider myself already perfect, but I keep going on, grasping ever more firmly that purpose for which Christ grasped me. My brothers, I do not consider myself to fully grasp it even now, but I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind," and I believe this is exactly what he did in Philippi when he said to people that he's writing to here, when he left that jail, says, "With hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead, I go straight for the goal, my reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ." Reach forward to the things that lie ahead. That's the plan of God. The plan of God isn't for us to be looking back. The plan of God is to stay focused on what lies ahead. Amen. We got to trust in God's plan, trust in His timing, trust the results, and know that it's only possible to do what He's called us to do because He's in it. Amen? We're doing it for Him, because of Him. Without Jesus and without God involved in our plan, we can't do anything. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the plan that you have for each and every one of us, Lord. The plan to be ministers of reconciliation, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter where we're at, no matter what we do. Lord, just to advance the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick. Father, we thank you and praise you for all the things that you've called us to do through your word. And Lord, it's my prayer that each and every one of us here and all those that listen through this podcast, Lord, that you will just just reveal more of the plan to us than we've ever had before. The plan for our lives, the plan for the church, the plan for our church. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for just revealing them to us through the Holy Spirit and through your word. And Father, I thank you for these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.